This is Jim McCanny, and we're going to go directly into the show tonight. The topic for tonight, I know a lot of people have been waiting for this show on the James McCanny Science Hour. We're dealing with the August alignments, electrical alignments. I've been talking about these for quite some time, and very amazing set of electrical alignments. So the entire show will be dedicated to this. On previous shows dealing with this, July 19th, July 26th, and August 2nd, these were all shows leading up to this. I'll give a short summary of the details of the theoretical concepts leading up to this show of August 9th tonight, and then I will go into the specific issues that we are involved with right now, the solar system alignments, and there's quite a long list. So if you're taking notes, you'll probably run out of note paper or probably won't be able to keep up, but of course the archives are always available on my webpage at jmccsci.com, and so you may want to go back and listen both to the previous shows, as I said, July 19th, 26th, and August 2nd, and then listen to this one again, because there's a great deal of detail that you'll want to catch. So first of all, I just want to comment on the amazing heat wave that we're dealing with today and through the past week throughout the United States. And on a day like today, a 5-square-mile area will lose about 5,000 gallons of water per second. An amazing fact that we are being dried out by the extensive heat wave that's covering the United States and actually the rest of the world. And of course, this is not due to global warming, due to you driving your SUV around, although I'm really not in favor of burning up all the oil as we're doing. That's certainly not a good plan. But the point is, there's something going on with the sun, there's something going on with the solar system, and we are definitely involved in a serious heating of Earth. We've seen these historically in the past. The glaciers are melting. The water on the Greenland ice cap is melting. The European glaciers are just about gone. The North and South Pole ice caps are getting smaller. There's potential for them to actually start sliding off of the, especially in the Antarctic, for that landmass to, because it's warm underneath, to have the ice sheet actually slide off. So anyway, just a quick comment on the heat wave we're dealing with right now. And in the month of August 2007, just a quick announcement. I will be a guest this weekend for an update on these same topics with Brad Walton, WCCO Radio. That's the big station out of Minneapolis. It's an AM station. Covers the eastern 38 states. So if you have a pencil and paper, make sure you jot this down. It's 830 AM on your radio dial. It's an AM station. And the time is August 12th. That's early Sunday morning, 1 AM Central Daylight Time. So calculate your own time. And this station will reach out to the 38 eastern states east of the Rockies. And it also has streaming at wwccoradio.com. So as I said, I'll be a guest on that show dealing with updates. And that's a very special date because August 12th, we're dealing with a new moon. And that comes into the electrical alignment scenario that I'll be talking about in just a second. Just a quick update on something around the internet. And this happens every August. Someone starts an email that on August 27th there will be an amazing show of Mars and it will be as big as the full moon or something. Mars is not even visible right now because it's in the daytime sky. It's about 90 degrees away from us. It's not the closest it will be to Earth. So once again this year, I think they send that out to see how many people will believe it or forward it, etc. But if you did receive such information, it's false. And just to let you know, Mars will not be in that position next year, just so you can put that on your calendar also. actually, a few years ago, Mars was was at a closest approach to Earth, but it did not look anything like a full moon, far from it. But at any rate, on with tonight's show. My original specification regarding the August 12th time frame dealt with actually a situation that begins on August 9th, when Venus is coming around beneath us, between us and the Sun, entering a zone where we can start to feel the effects, the plasma electrical effects of Venus's presence. The Venusian planet is well known back as far as the Chinese are concerned for bringing bird flu and other types of flus, and what they called the swine flu. These were variations that go way back. And those terms were actually originated by the Chinese because they noticed a great increase in influenza during the time when Venus was passing inferior conjunction. That's when it passes between us and the Sun. Just a quick note, let me take an example. If, for example, all the planets lined up on one side of the solar system, in other words, you had the Sun and in a direct line coming out, you had Mercury, then Venus, then Earth and Earth's moon. Say Earth's moon was in either a full moon or a new moon position. And then you go out to Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and little Pluto way out there. What if all of these planets lined up in a direct line at one time? And we've seen situations almost like this. It would be a very rare event, but here is the potential that electrical discharges from the far reaches of the solar system could pass all the way down through that alignment of planets. And here's the situation that I want to explain. The electrical size of the planets is very different than the physical size. We think of the little planets out there, even big Jupiter, as a dot in the sky relative to the solar system. But their electrical and plasma size would be very large, and typically extending out away from the Sun, much like a comet tail. In fact, they are the same process as a comet tail when you view this relative to the plasma discharge comet model. And so anyway, the electrical extension of the planets, all of a sudden these alignments allow that electrical discharge to occur from the far reaches of the solar system back to the Sun, and that would create a scenario on the Sun where we would have tremendous flaring. The Sun would kick out, take that energy, turn it into fusion, and create a large solar flare or many solar flares. We know from there's a fact that when Venus is passing its inferior conjunction, as it is starting to do right now, the number of sunspots increases, and that's a scientifically verified fact. So we are just beginning today, August 9th, to have Venus come into that position. And I'll be reading the entire litany of electrical alignments, and I think your jaw is going to drop when you hear this. And of course, when this happens, there's a couple of planets that are not involved in this particular cross-solar system alignment. Jupiter, Pluto, and Mars are pretty much out of the picture. They're off to the sides. And so we're dealing with the planets Uranus, Neptune, Earth, and Venus on our side of the solar system. And then on the other side of the solar system is little Mercury, which is very near the Sun, and then all the way out to Saturn. So you can see that there's some fairly big gaps in these electrical connections. But when you start crossing the entire solar system, as I'll explain, there's potential for some serious electrical conditions, electrical discharges, cross solar system and cross planet discharges, and therefore some serious weather conditions on Earth. Now, this I started talking about a long time ago, and I'll go into more details on the electrical conditions, but oddly enough, my friend and talk show host Brad Walton, as I said, I'll be a guest there this weekend, took this information to an astrologer. And they looked at the information and said that the conditions we're seeing right now, in relative to astrology, is the same as the time of September 11th, 2001. Now, there's a lot of people out there who don't believe in astrology and think it's voodoo science, but you have to remember there are a lot of superstitious leaders, especially the Skull and Crossbones crew, the New World Order crew. They're very superstitious, and they go by sun signs and other astrological signs. So it's very disturbing, in fact, to find that the time frame we're heading into right now is astrologically the same as September 11th, 2001. And we all know what that could possibly mean. So I just want to diverge 1 second here, talking about the fact that there have been no hurricanes all summer long. We had a little minor storm early in the season, and I just get have to laugh at the National Weather Service and NOAA, the National Hurricane Prediction Center. At the beginning of this year, once again, they predicted, using their bad science, predicted a bumper crop of hurricanes this year. And of course, I won't go into that. I don't have time to deal with that, the bad science they are using to project those numbers. But today, they dropped their so-called prediction considerably because there haven't been any storms. Well, if you predict something and it doesn't happen and then you change your numbers, that's no longer a prediction, I have to tell you. It's no longer a prediction. It's now history. So I have to kind of chuckle it when the National Hurricane Prediction Center changes their predictions based on the fact that there have been no storms. But things could change as we head into August here. I just want to also make a quick comment on the Discovery Channel has a show going around. It's called Superstorm, and it's kind of a fictitious narration of a team of people who mistakenly discover how to alter weather, in fact, the movement of hurricanes. It's filled with bad science and bad analogies of how hurricanes form, talking about warm water. But I got a very big chuckle out of this right in the middle of it. One of the, there's a woman actor who says that she has reinforced their encryption to be a 4,096-bit encryption that would take 2,000 years for all the military computers in the world to crack. And I just had to kind of chuckle at that because those encryption codes are extremely vulnerable and those rules and numbers no longer apply. Encryption based on prime numbers simply doesn't work anymore, and anybody that's using it is a fool. So I just had to get a chuckle out of the fact that the Discovery Channel special Superstorm had to throw that little bit in there, so you know the disinformation crew is out there working hard on primetime TV trying to promote very bad science and very bad information to the public. I'm just going to interject one more thought before I go into the electrical alignments, and we're going to find that Venus, the actual inferior conjunction of Venus, is going to take place on August 18th this year, the 18th of August, and that means that Venus will be directly in line between us and the sun. Actually, it'll be a little bit below the sun if we looked in that direction. But the point being, and by the way, do not look at the sun. I always have to make that clear when you're out looking at celestial phenomena. Do not look at the sun directly, of course. But August 18th, Venus inferior conjunction is a major center point of the Mayan calendar. And I have to keep pounding on this issue because there are so many people running around, jumping up and down, with totally bogus information regarding the Mayan calendar. The Mayan calendar was not based on the moon and the sun. It was based on the cycles of Venus. That was the primary celestial deity. And the reason for that is because a long time ago, Venus was an errant comet coming through the solar system. That's Quetzalcoatl, the main deity of the Mayans. And of course, Quetzalcoatl had many persona, including the what would you say, a Caucasian, apparently, looking fellow that came and brought them fire and corn and other advancements. And this was after, as with many primitive religions or mythologies, there were many different personas to a given deity. But the real Quetzalcoatl was the plumed serpent god of the night sky, who ruled the sky for hundreds of years and whose heart eventually became the planet Venus. And so the Mayan calendar, the true Mayan calendar, was centered upon the cycles of Venus, and August 18th will be one of those major cycle transition points. Not December 21st, 2012, as some people are trying to tell you. So at any rate, that doesn't mean the world is going to end on August 18th, but the Mayans were very specific about Venus, and also the calendars of old were quite different. They were very, the calendars many thousands of years ago changed considerably, so you cannot calculate or project into the past the calendars that we're looking at today. The Mayan calendar we're viewing today is due to the post-classic Maya period that occurred around 600 to 800 years ago. This was the remnant that was left over as the Spanish came over and discovered them. But the ancient calendars that go back 2,500 years or 3,500 years were very different because Venus, the orbit of Venus was very different back then because it was an errant comet. So, and that is what affected Earth. It changed our calendar as it came by and also stripped Mars of its oceans and atmosphere. So, at any rate, on to the list. And so, with all of this in mind, the actual electrical alignments, the potential for storms, earthquakes, volcanoes, etc., in this coming time frame of August, and the implications for the so-called New World Order and the people who want to turn the United States over to the European bankers. I'll get into that a little bit at the end because it's important to understand all of these connections, the geopolitical world as related to the astrological positions of the planets, but then there's the actual scientific electrical alignments of the planets, which I'm going to talk about right now. So let me go through this laundry list of electrical alignments that are coming up, and as you hear this, it's a very long list. You're going to understand why I've been concentrating on this over past weeks. So here we go. On our side of the solar system, once again, and let me start out also, we are now in August, the month of August, and that's when we pass through, when the Earth passes through, what I call the return current sheet. As the solar wind blows out an excess of positive charge and creates a capacitor at the far edge of the solar system, that process cannot continue indefinitely, so there's a return current sheet that occurs as we move through the month of August. That's why the hurricane season peaks in August, that's why the tornado season peaks in August, and that's why the aurora borealis or northern lights season peaks in August. So because of this amazing electrical current that passes through the solar system, and we pass right through that. So that adds to all the electrical alignment conditions of the planet. So that's going on right now, and that's starting right now. And remember that these electrical alignments are not like lines, or they're more like a big, broad-spectrum snake swinging around in space. And these connections can occur earlier or later, depending on the plasma conditions in the solar system. I'll also talk about the current solar system conditions, what the sun is doing right now. Okay, so here is the laundry list of electrical conditions that we are about to enter into starting on August 9th. On our own side of the solar system, we have, first of all, of course, the sun at the center, then Venus, Earth, and Earth's moon, and we're heading into a new moon phase, which is critical. I'll talk about that. and then Neptune and Uranus off to the side a little bit as we go way out into the far reaches of the solar system. So once again, on our side of the solar system, it's Venus, Earth's moon, Earth, and the Neptune way out there, and then also Uranus. On the far side of the Sun, we have little Mercury, and these are all lined up in a near-perfect line. So from the far side of the solar system looking out, we have Mercury and then Saturn, which, of course, is about two-thirds of the way out in the solar system, just to give you a rough picture of where these sit. So there are some large gaps involved here. Now, as I said, Mars and Jupiter and Pluto are not in the picture. Jupiter and Pluto are off to our left as we look sunward, and Mars is way off to the right in the daytime sky, so Mars is not even visible as I speak right now, August 2007. I'm just going to briefly mention once again, and this is the details of this are given in my book, my set of books, but the new moon passing is very important because the moon passes between us and the sun. What happens is for a short time as it during the new moon phase, it temporarily blocks the solar wind, that wind of charged particles that come from the sun. It temporarily blocks that, and then as the moon moves out of it, out of the path or the direct line between Earth and the sun, in about 2 days after the new moon, that's what I call the new moon passing, we have a situation where all of a sudden that solar wind detaches from the moon and comes pounding in and compresses our protective magnetic shield, and that's what many times can trigger earthquakes, severe weather, hurricanes, tornadoes, thunderstorms, that type of activity. So, and that's also based on what the sun is doing at the time. So I just wanted to interject that. So here's the list of dates we're dealing with now. And this goes all the way through the month of August. Starting on August 9th today, we have Venus entering the zone where we can start to feel the effects of its plasma tail. We should expect the number of sunspots to go up. And by the way, right now there's, I believe, just one or two named sunspots, a very low count, which is typical for this time of year, but that number should go up dramatically over the next week or two. And the watch we're looking at, by the way, is about a 15-day watch as we go through this series of electrical alignments. Venus also today is at aphelion, which is the farthest position in its orbit away from the sun. August 12th is the new moon. The Earth enters its new moon phase, as I said, where it starts to block the solar wind. And we have Venus, so the conjunction here is Earth, Earth's moon, Venus, and the sun in all in a direct line. By the way, on August 13th, and this is not related to the electrical conditions, but you may want to go out for a little light show, the Perseid meteor shower is expected to be quite good this year. So this is, as I said, not related to the electrical alignments, but you may want to go out and late at night, or I think it's early in the morning, take a look and you'll see these meteors zipping through the night sky. Usually, you never know how exactly it'll turn out, but this year they say could be a good year for those. Okay, on to the electrical alignments. August 13th, Neptune is in opposition. Now, just notice how tightly these dates are compacted into this small period of time. Neptune is in opposition, which means it is directly in line with Earth and the Sun, and our new moon is out there, and also Venus is still hanging in there, starting to approach its inferior conjunction. This is all on our side of the sun. August 14th, the new moon passing could trigger severe storms, earthquakes, earth weather, auroras, etc. August 15th, Mercury is at superior conjunction, which means it is on the far side of the sun, directly aligned with Earth. So we have Earth on our side of the sun, and then Mercury just across the Sun on the far side. August 17th, Neptune, Earth, New Moon in the Mercury-Saturn alignment. This is the tightest alignment of all of these planets will occur on August 17th. This is the cross-solar system alignment. This is when all of those planets will be in almost a perfect direct electrical line from the far side of the solar system through the Sun and out past Earth, past Uranus, past Neptune on our side of the Sun. August 18th, Venus is in inferior conjunction, which means it's perfectly in line with us and the Sun. And I already talked about the Mayan calendar and the significance of this relative to Venus and the fact that Venus' plasma tail stretches out and almost touches Earth. In fact, I would say it's safe to say that it actually goes beyond Earth. August 18th, Mercury and Saturn are in conjunction on the far side of the Sun. They have a direct line, Sun, Mercury, Venus. The new moon passing is more significant this year because it is at apogee, which means it is the farthest away from Earth in its orbit. So as it is farther away, the effect of the solar wind pounding in on Earth after the new moon passes could be more significant this year in August than normal. Now going up to August 21st, the Earth, Sun, and on the far side, Saturn are perfectly aligned. And then finally, on August 28th, we have a full moon with a total lunar eclipse. This is quite the month. August 2007, all of this happening within about a 15-day period. This is extremely unusual. So when I started talking about this last spring, and as I started doing my most recent radio shows and also interviews as guests on other shows, I started kind of pounding on this topic because of this amazing series of electrical alignments. Now I'm going to talk just briefly about solar system conditions. I just pulled these up, and I've been watching these. And this is very typical. It's what you might call the calm before the storm. Right now, the Sun is quite calm. There's one, it looks like a kind of like the one-eyed cyclops with a single solar coronal hole facing us. And yesterday, or about a day and a half ago, actually, it let loose with a small flare, which is expected to reach us any time within the next 24 hours, I believe. It's not a major flare, but we might get to see a little bit of auroral activity, the northern lights. So if you're in a northern region, I would say from about the 45 degrees latitude and north, you may get to see some auroras, although they have been very quiet lately also. I've been out looking for these myself recently. But that could change significantly. And one thing that I've seen that is very true about the solar system conditions and alignments, once these start to pop, so to speak, or let go, then all of a sudden there's a cascade effect. It's like a diode or other types of electrical circuitry that all of a sudden they hold and hold and hold, and all of a sudden when they let go, they let go in unison or together. So that's what happened. Give an example here. A number of years ago, I made a prediction, and that in fact was on the August 27th date a number of years ago, when I said that's a date that everybody should look at. And by the way, that's why the disinformation crew loves to make fun of that date, because that was a date when, in fact, they had egg all over their face. Because I made a prediction that spring. I said on August 27th of that year, there would be a tremendous outbreak of Atlantic hurricanes and storms in general around the world. And I made that prediction in May the year before, and I made it public. And I said, as I always do, I rarely make predictions, but this set of electrical alignments a number of years ago was so incredible that it was worthy of note. And I made a published the information on my web page, and my weather book, of course, was out, the Principia Meteorologia. And I remember on August 26th, the night before, the hoots and the hollers were all over the internet. The paid government disinformation people that like to criticize me were hooping it up, and just there was nothing in sight. There were no storms visible, and that's very typical. And around midnight, as we crossed between the 26th and the 27th, as the plasma connection from our new moon broke loose, the new moon passing, which triggers these, one of the trigger mechanisms for these storms, once that let loose, in about 4 hours, four major hurricanes developed in the Atlantic, and about 60 tropical storms developed around the equator all at one time. And as one of my fans said, the silence was deafening. All of a sudden, the disinformation jokers faded into the woodwork like a bunch of cockroaches when the lights go on. So that's why when you see this email going out annually to laugh about August 27th and Mars is going to be the closest to Earth or something like that, they're trying to ridicule that date, which is typical of people with small lives and people that don't have a, as we say in the business, don't have a life. But that's a good example of there was a whole set of electrical alignments across the solar system on that date, and that is well described in both my weather book. Also in around 1999, we had a similar set of electrical alignments, and that all of a sudden, the trigger mechanism on that particular instance was a very small comet called Comet Lee. And when I started looking at the aspects of Comet Lee's orbit, it was around April of that year, I started noticing the cross-solar system electrical alignments. And I gave a very specific date of September 6th. And I said, on September 6th, I think it was 1999, I said, that date is a very critical date for severe weather and earthquakes, etc., in the Atlantic, the hurricanes in the Atlantic, etc. And it was, once again, as Comet Lee came up over the sun and then dropped down, actually Comet Lee and its electrical path was behind and up slightly above Earth as it came down and passed on its orbit behind Earth. And given all of the other electrical conditions at that time, I said that in also that was still within the range of the August return current sheet. So I said September 6th, 1999. Remember, this is April, the spring before I'm making these predictions. I said that there's potential for a very severe electrical conditions that could create hurricanes, that type of, severe hurricanes in the Atlantic. September 6th, Hurricane Floyd formed, and four other hurricanes. We had five hurricanes in the Atlantic at one time. And it was a very predictable scenario, a very predictable event. And that is all history now, of course. The details of that you can find in my books also. But I'm not going to go into detail on that tonight. The point is that right now in August 2007, we have a very unusual set of solar system alignments in that they are cross solar system, meaning that we, on the far side of the solar system, we have Mercury and Saturn. And on this side of the solar system, we have Venus, our new moon, the new moon passing, Earth going out. We have Neptune, Uranus on the very far edges of the solar system, and the return current sheet that comes back from the far edges of the solar system. So this spans the entire solar system to both edges, the far edge and the edge that the distant edge of the solar system that we are on. This is something that is far more unusual than anything we've seen before. So at any rate, that's why it's going to be very interesting to watch over coming weeks what will happen. And of course, I'll be posting on a daily basis on my website. Keep tuned to that. The August 18th date is very significant, and once again, we have information that comes in from many points, from people who do various types of research, getting a clue or getting a feeling for how things are going out there. So let me switch gears a little bit today and talk about the stock market. What an unusual thing to talk about when we're talking about cross-solar system alignments. Well, today it took another serious dive. The American dollar is going under. It has never been as weak as it is now. But what does that have to do with electrical alignments? Well, as I said before, the astrological conditions right now are the same as on 9/11/2001. And I don't personally run my life based on the signs or the movement of the planets, but there are some people that do, and that's the scary part, because they are the, for example, the Bushes, the Cheneys, the other people who are extremely superstitious, the skull and crossbones people, and they maneuver on these time frames based on astrology, solar alignments, and we've seen a number of things before, but this happens to be one of the more interesting set of dates. What's interesting about the stock market is that at the end of almost every day over the past couple weeks, entities have come in with large infusions of money, and sometimes they've actually cut the trading short towards the end of the day to prevent the stock market from crashing. There was a week, about a week ago on a Friday and then a Monday morning, when the selling was rampant, and once again, entities come in to prop up the stock market artificially. Well, of course, this can't go on forever. All they're trying to do is prop it up until a certain date occurs. After that date, they won't care anymore because there simply probably will not be a stock market. So when you talk about events, let's talk about the fact that the NSA, the CIA, and a number of secure government agencies have been moved from the Washington, D.C. area. The hints that are coming in from the people that seem to know is that Washington would be a target. Why would Washington be a target? That's if you look at the banking central industry, if you look at the federal government, what better way to take out this country than to take out its capital, the symbol of the federal government? And then you would truly have nothing left but what they call the shadow government. So why does the stock market and its very the fact that they're propping it up almost on a daily basis, the monetary funds, the U.S. dollar, they're hedging against Chinese who are trying to dump the U.S. dollar in many other countries. Of course, the situation in Iran where they're trading in non-U.S. dollar commodities, the oil, etc. All of this leads to one very important fact, that this cannot hold together very much longer. And when it goes, which it's going to have to, it cannot hold much longer, let's put it that way. There's a certain date they're watching for. When you watch the political maneuvering, they ask for another month and a half in Iraq. Everybody is on hold, trying to hold out to a certain date, and it appears that that date is approaching fairly soon, because it cannot hold much longer. So all of the political implications are that something is about ready to happen, if you know what I mean. Now let's look at some other things. I've already talked before extensively about watching the Queen. In fact, I gave it a name. I call it the Queen Watch. Where is the Queen? When the Queen leaves England, watch out. There was indications that she was actually in the United States a short while ago. Again, not the spring visit in May, but just recently Then you have the situation that I've talked about, and all of these are coupled together. The fact that George Bush Sr. is not doing real well, and he knows better than anybody that he probably won't be with us very much longer, and he certainly is going to want to see the fruition of his lifelong effort to turn this country over to the European bankers. That was the ultimate goal. That's always been the goal. And so bringing down the stock market, bringing down the economy of the United States, bringing down the building trade, as has been happening, is all purposeful. This was not done by accident. Destroying this economy was no accident of a bumbling idiot who happens to call himself president today. These are all planned events. So the other part of it is, certainly Bush and the other controllers of the United States, and I would call them controllers just like you would have controllers of a corporation, are certainly well aware that they can't hand the job over to the next group of what we might see as bumbling idiots, because the job may get diverted, it may not get done. So you put all of these factors together, and the one result, all of the indicators are pointing towards one specific conclusion. That conclusion is that something is going to happen relatively soon. And they like explosions. They like things blowing up. They like things that can be shown that really impress people. So what exactly might happen? Now, once again, I don't personally predict the future. I never have, and I always give this information with a grain of salt, but I think the general feeling amongst people out there, if you took a census of the people listening to this show right now, I bet you 99.9% of them are shaking their head up and down, I agree. They feel it. They can sense it. They know something is about to happen. And unfortunately, it's probably going to happen with the money we paid for to defend this country. And that is one of the most bizarre, unusual twists of any country that has collapsed. If you look at Troy, if you go way back in history, if you look at the Roman Empire, none of them have been destroyed by the defenses that they have provided for to defend their own country. That's going to be probably, that's going to go down into history as one of the most bizarre twists of fate, if you want to call that, or lack of foresight on the part of the public, that has ever occurred in the history of a country, in the history of the world. So, as I said, looking at the astrological side of this, I don't run my life on astrology, but there are people that do. Now, I'm going to just take a moment here and talk about, usually at some point in the show I talk about the water filters, and I'm just going to spend about 30 seconds just covering the details. I suggest this is something that if you don't have your own source of fresh water, my personal opinion is you're crazy. And there's one certain way to do that. I offer the Big Berkey water filter for a very good reason. I personally have three of them. I notice people order two and three sometimes because they may have a second house, or they may have one for grandma or something like that. But having your own source of fresh, clean water is the most important thing you can have. And it's going to be the hardest thing to find very soon. With the drought, with the drying situation we're encountering here, with the ownership of water that's coming up, and also the lack of guidance, the fact that you have corporations coming into municipalities and literally buying out or taking over water systems, having your own source, and the other word here is portable. You may say, oh, I've got a filter on my water line, and simply put, that will not cut it. If they turn the water off, and inline pressurized water filters can also crack. If they do, all your filtered water goes through, all your water goes through that crack and none of it becomes filtered. At any rate, to make a long story short, what I offer is the Big Berkey water filter. It's what the Red Cross uses when they go into a remote disaster area. It comes with the two Black Berkey filters and two extra filters, which I insist that you get because you are going to need them in case of emergency. Also, for free, I offer the Kato WRX 911 emergency shortwave radio and free shipping. And this is all for $315. You won't find a better deal on the planet. The mail order address is JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392. Or go to my website, JMCCSCI.com. That's seven letters, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. And you'll find all the information there also. So once again, portable, self-contained water filter. I would not leave home without it, not in the month of August 2007. I'm going to talk briefly about auroras. Now, I've talked about these before, but these are very much an indicator of the solar conditions that are affecting Earth right now. And oddly enough, scientists still don't really understand where auroras come from. What is the source of electrons and protons that come shedding off into our atmosphere, the very high reaches of our atmosphere? And one thing is very clear. At Jupiter, let's take a look at Jupiter, the closest moon, Io, the auroras on Jupiter, the North Pole and the South Pole, follow that little moon as it goes around Jupiter. So it would stand to reason that our own moon is in fact instrumental in creating our auroras. Now, we are now entering the new moon phase, so that's when the moon is in fact blocking the solar wind from hitting Earth. So it appears that even though we might have a solar storm coming our way, even though we have a solar flare on the way, the new moon, which is between us and the sun, is in fact blocking that. So at any rate, we'll have to see. As I said, I'll be keeping a constant update on the conditions, the solar conditions. And my best guess for when all of this is going to break is actually August 14th, when the new moon passing event occurs. As I said, the new moon will be on August 12th. And 2 days later, about 2 days later, anywhere in that time frame is where that solar wind breaks free and comes crashing in to our protective magnetic shield that surrounds Earth, the Earth's plasma magnetic shield. And to give you an idea of perspective, the sun is about 93 million miles away. It takes about 3 days for the solar wind and solar flares to reach us from the sun, a typical solar flare. The moon is a quarter million miles away, and our protective solar shield, or our protective magnetic shield, the plasma shield of Earth, is only about 30,000 miles away. So you can see that there's a goodly distance between the moon, a quarter million miles away, and 30,000 miles, the upper edge, what they call the bow shock of Earth's magnetic field, the protective boundary between where the solar wind reigns free and that protected area on the front side of Earth. And, of course, our magnetic tail, or what I call the comet tail, stretches out in the anti-solar direction, probably all the way to Mars, which is another good distance through the solar system. Now, just to give you an idea, I want to go back to the very original thought here. What if all of the planets happen to line up on one side of the solar system at one time? Here would be the scenario. You would have the Sun, then Mercury, and its plasma tail stretching out almost to Venus. then you would have Venus with its plasma tail stretching almost out to Earth. You would have our own moon, which is capable of triggering events and little shock waves in this plasma stream, our magnetic or plasma tail reaching out almost to Mars, the plasma tail of Mars reaching out all the way to Jupiter, the plasma tail of Jupiter reaching out to Saturn, and so on. So you find these electrical connections that in fact stretch, span the entire length of the solar system. The thing that complicates it is right now Jupiter and Mars are out of the picture and Mercury and Saturn are on the far side of the solar system. So it's very difficult to predict exactly what could happen in a cross solar system pattern like this until it actually happens or until it doesn't happen. And of course it depends on solar conditions. Another factor is that if the sun starts to flare, as the flares come out, they in fact can enhance the solar, or they can in fact enhance the plasma tails of the planets. These all interact and support each other. So once that flaring begins, we could potentially expect some serious flaring from the sun to continue, possibly into September. So it's impossible to say, but I'll be keeping an eye on a couple things here. One is the number of sunspots. That would be a good indicator of whether Venus and Earth are in fact connecting electrically, and if this connection is going all the way back to the sun. So you can also watch this, go to any of the standard web pages on the internet. Spaceweather.com is a site that always posts the sunspots. Watch the number of sunspots as Venus comes around and passes through the inferior conjunction on August 18th. So we have a little bit of time between now and then. As I said, right now the sun is extremely calm. And that's typical. That's typical. That's the calm before the storm. And things could change very rapidly. A number of years ago, that August 27th alignment when Mars was, in fact, at a closest approach to Earth in, I believe, about 65,000 years, that, in fact, was a time when we had severe electrical discharges in the solar system. You could see it. You could see the sun reacting to it. And, in fact, the new moon, the Earth's new moon passing, was what triggered that event on August 27th. Even though the August return current sheet was there, the connection with Mars was there. I believe Venus was involved with that one. And we've seen many times where a little Mercury coming around between Earth and the Sun has also managed to trigger some flares. So what will happen over the next number of weeks is up for grabs at this point. It's just going to be very interesting to watch the solar system as these events occur. And as I said, the laundry list of electrical connections is quite long, beginning with today, August 9th, ending on August 28th with the full moon and a total lunar eclipse. Typically, the full moon is not as significant an electrical event as the new moon and the new moon passing. Typically, the new moon passing is by far a more important event. And to see that that's happening within just a couple days of the inferior conjunction of Venus is a very somewhat rare event. All of these alignments, but to see all of these alignments occurring within a 15-day window is extremely rare. So, as I said, it's very difficult to make predictions, but going to be very interesting to watch. We're also in a solar minimum, coming out of a solar minimum, and the sun has been somewhat quiet in general. But that can change overnight. The solar minimum just is a general cycle of the sun, and what really can trigger the sun is the fact that electrical energy comes back cycling back into the sun And also remember that the fusion of the sun is a surface phenomenon. One of the greatest myths of modern science is that there is a fusion core in the heart of the sun, and that's where the heat of the sun comes from. That is one of the biggest myths on the planet. In fact, it is very easy to prove and show that the fusion of the sun is high up in its atmosphere and is created by electrical conditions in the atmosphere itself. So those properties of the sun are very clear. It's also very easy to measure, given fairly primitive equipment. It's fairly easy to measure the fact that the solar core is much cooler than the surface. In fact, as you go down deeper into the sun, it gets cooler and cooler. In fact, my weather book goes into details where the Russians did a very simple experiment back in the 1990s, and in fact were able to show experimentally that the sun has a cool core. It's about half as big as the round orange ball that we see up in the sky. The sun's core is about half that size, which then leads to the fact that hydrogen must be coming in from outside. In fact, the sun could not continue to burn hydrogen at the rate it's burning it today and continue on for 4.5 billion years, as scientists suspect that it would be the age of our solar system. That might be a correct date, it might not be. But certainly, Earth is very old, the solar system is very old, but the fusion of the sun is not from the core of the sun. The fusion, the heat from the solar furnace, occurs high in its atmosphere, is very vulnerable, is very erratic, and it can change on a rapid basis. The fact that we've had a few thousand years of very nice weather, quite unusual, and that could change overnight. Another thing that could change that, as I've said before, is volcanic activity. I've been watching, of course, Popocatépetl, the large volcano outside of Mexico City, and it has been very erratic lately with some fairly significant expulsions of steam, ash, and vapor, sulfur, etc. So, and there have been some dramatic volcanic eruptions around the Earth in general over the past number of weeks. So these volcanoes are sitting on the edge, possibly waiting to be triggered. And there's another potential event that if one of these, and this is something that nobody can control, it's bigger than all of us, and when we start to see weather conditions, earthquakes, volcanoes, volcanic activity, these are events that are far bigger than anybody on planet Earth. So if these take over, remember the mini ice age was caused, in fact, by a volcano that went off in the Middle Ages, kicked off a cloud of dust that created famine, or created a cooling of the earth. It snowed through the summer throughout Europe, and in fact caused what we call the mini ice age, and caused a great deal of famine and desolation. Finally, the earth warmed up and came out of that. So many things can happen here. The month of August could be a very telling time for many reasons. And once again, I am out of time. This is Jim McCanny. Join me next week as I continue this topic. And this is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.